This is TWIT.
When most of us talk about diversity in the IT workforce, we talk for some of the very needed advances in diversity that are being made in terms of gender representation, representation of people of various racial and ethnic backgrounds, as well as LGBTQ diversity. But there are other lines of diversity that we need to think about. And one of my colleagues over at Dark Reading did a story titled Autism, Cybercrime and Security Skill Struggle. And the fact is that people in different places along the spectrum that is autism often possess traits that could help them succeed in cybersecurity. That is, if they aren't tempted into cybercrime first. And, you know, it's interesting. There are many cyber criminals who aren't diagnosed with autism until they enter the criminal justice system, when to a certain extent it's a little late. The same traits that led them toward cybercrime could very easily help them fight it. Now, Rebecca Lettingham, Vice President of Cybersecurity at MasterCard, spotted the trend earlier in her career as a cyber agent for the UK's National Crime Agency, when she pointed out that these weren't the same sort of criminals that she was seeing when she had dealt with drugs and sex crimes. Their social behavior was different than what she had seen in other criminals. Now, often this social behavior isn't diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum during criminal justice proceedings. It's only later in her career, when she was working for Interpol, that she realized the issue was broader. Her work with global agencies revealed that outside of cybercrime, no other offense came with a foundational condition. In other words, there was no other set of crimes where you could draw the same very direct line between an existing neurological condition and cybercrime. So the question becomes, you know, why do they do it? Well, often people with autism are quite good with math and science because those are very logic and syntax driven, as is IT. And there typically and frequently is one way to do things right. And that one way rule guided environment is something that many people who are on the autism spectrum find comforting and comfortable. In addition, many people with autism are pattern thinkers, and many of them are hyperlexic, which is a term for those who are intensely interested in letters and numbers and who possess an advanced reading ability. For them, it would be very easy to go between, say, English and code because they understand each with equal ease. So why turn to cybercrime? Well, we have left many of our legitimate businesses sort of on the outskirts of those who are on the autism spectrum. People in cybercrime have been much more welcoming. Take social anxiety. If you've been in any kind of business, you know how important the after-work mixer, the casual conversation in the hall, all of that is. Whereas in cybercrime, it's often a very disparate, widely geographically dispersed network of individuals who never have to have that kind of interaction. Now, college is another example. You have many companies that absolutely positively require a college degree before you can make it through the HR weeding process to get a job. Cybercrime tends not to have that same sort of weeding process. And people with autism are often overwhelmed by college physical classes. They can have poor grades because of that and have difficulty making it through. On the internet, they can be who they want to be. So the general thrust is that people are beginning to be aware that organizations could benefit by welcoming employees with autism. Unfortunately, a lot of those companies don't know how. They tend to interview one-to-one rather poorly, struggle with the behavioral-related questions, those kind of interesting questions that Google became famous for. Instead, questions need to be specific, literal, direct, and they should have a deadline. The more you spell things out, Meyer said, the easier it is. And it can help to approach the hiring process in a project-oriented way. If you've got somebody coming in, give them a project and evaluate how they do on it and hire them based upon the output of the project. Now, she pointed to Microsoft as a company, as an example of a company with a program that is designed for workers with autism. And as a result, they have one of the more comprehensive hiring programs where neurodifferences are concerned. So I'm going to turn to my co-host now and ask you, Lou, I'll start with you. Have you ever worked with or managed someone that you knew was on the spectrum?
So I haven't actually worked with somebody directly, but I've knew people on other teams that that have worked with people that are, you know, of neurodiversity. And I can tell you that, you know, I've been in design meetings and architectural meetings where there's many like-minded individuals in these meetings, and problem solving is sometimes hard. I mean, you try to solve the problem all the same way and it's never going to be solved. But as soon as you get somebody in there can completely think differently, think at a different level, it tends to change how things are solved. And I definitely have seen that in the past. And that's one of the reasons Microsoft has these diversity programs, is to start bringing in that level of diversity into the, you know, the modern day challenges that we have today, especially in technology. And when you get that different way of thinking and you integrate it into the mix, into the recipe of problem solving, you find that you can literally solve challenges in completely different ways and sometimes easier ways. And so I can honestly say, I've seen this happen. Now, I personally haven't had anybody on my team that's been like that, but I can definitely say I would have no problem hiring somebody like that, because we have tons of challenges that we're constantly digging at day in, day in, day out, that we could definitely use somebody thinking differently on it. So I can definitely see this as an advantage going forward in future hiring.
Well, Mo, I want to come to you, because one of the questions that I have for you, I mean, you're down there in Texas where people tend to be straight shooters and all that. So do you see this as being one of those sort of social issues that glosses things over and make people feel good? Or do you see some real advantages that can come to an organization if they go to the trouble to be more welcoming to those who are in, as Steve Silverman would say, different neuro tribes?
Well, look, we're all veterans of the tech world, so let's not kid ourselves. And Lou, I'm gonna have you go look in the mirror for a second, because if you haven't worked with someone who's on the spectrum, then it might be you in the group, because I haven't worked with a group yet that didn't have at least one person who was classically at least on the spectrum. For autism, ours is an industry that it's just a good fit. And but back to your question, that was more about diversity. I think I guess I almost think of this as a no-brainer, because it's not just that you can solve problems in a better way, a different way, a more efficient way. It's that when you have people with different backgrounds, different perspectives, different ways of approaching things, you'll find that you identify problems that you didn't even know about or would not have even seen. So it's not just that you're answering them, it's that you're and as we all know, identifying the problem first is it's half of the battle. And so I think that this has been shown in all kinds of groups. Companies have seen this as they brought in people from different ethnic backgrounds or different genders and different walks of life. They see this. And there was a great article recently about the Air Force repurposing their aircraft mechanics, because they share, not that they're on the spectrum, but they do share the same methodical checklist approach to problem solving. That aircraft doesn't roll out of the hangar until absolutely everything on the list was done and done in order. And so if you're doing threat hunting, or if you're trying to identify security breaches, this is a skill set or a trait or a habit, a work habit that is definitely an advantage.
You know, I absolutely agree that need for looking at problems from different vantage points is something that we have in the industry and in others. And Mo, I agree with you. Being on the spectrum is kind of like the experience I had back in the, I guess, early 90s when we first started talking about adults with ADHD. And I saw the list of, you know, if you have three of these qualities, you may suffer with ADHD. I looked at the list and it described everyone I knew in the computer industry. Not just most of the people, I mean, everyone I knew. And there are elements of being on the spectrum that are the same. And I don't want to in any way make light of this. It's just we are advancing in our understanding of these neurological differences, what they mean, and how many people are different in the way their brains are put together. I have a good friend that I met the last time I was in graduate school. We still chat on one of the social networks regularly, even though he is on the other side of the world. And there's an author that I would recommend. His name's Steve Silberman, and he wrote a book called Neurotribes about this issue. I think I may have Chiebert get in touch with him, see if maybe we can get him on at some point. I think this would be a fascinating major issue to talk about on the show, because we know that despite everything else, in cybersecurity, in cloud development, in all sorts of areas, we are struggling as an industry to find enough qualified people to do the work that there is to be done. And so being more broad in the way we hire people, being more creative in the ways we come up with to evaluate their skills and bring them on board, the better I believe it is for the entire industry.